Welcome to Torah Tzimecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we will be studying Yeshayahu Perek Chafav, 26. The first 19 psukim in this perek are a song being sung among the people of Yehuda. The opening words are Bayom Hahu, on that day. What day is this talking about is interpreted differently by the commentators. It could be a direct continuation of the defeat of Moab that ended off in the last perek, or it could be when Gog is defeated, or in general at the time of the final redemption. The song starts off talking about Yerushalayim and the salvation that she will experience. It's described, Yerushalayim is described as an Ir Azlanu, the city that has always been our source of strength. And it contains a tefillah that Hashem will continue to place salvation in the walls of the city, both in the inner and outer walls, and stop enemies from entering the city. These psukim speak of people coming into the city and ascending to the Beit HaMikdash, for the city is now open again to the people after having been sealed off during Galut. I have to say that when I read this pasuk in particular, I think about how the way people described what happened in 1967 when they were able to enter into the old city and the Kotel again, and if that's a way of manifestation of these words in modern times. When the people arrive at the gates, they say in pasuk bet, "Open the gates so that the righteous and loyal people can come to the mikdash." This reminds me of the pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Chaf Dalid, Mi Ya'aleh Bahar Hashem. Who can ascend the Har of Hashem? We're told, Niki Kapayim Uvar Levav, one who is holy, one who is pure. And that's what the people here are proclaiming. They are righteous and they want to enter into the Mikdash area. In pasuk Gimel, the gatekeepers respond, Yetzer Samuch, since this person trusted and relied on you, it is appropriate for you, Hashem, to guard him with peace. Titzor shalom shalom. The word yetzer in this pasuk can mean a creation of Hashem, or it can mean a person whose yetzer, in this case, hopefully his yetzer tov, was what he relied on. And now that he relied on Hashem, Hashem can now give him shalom to rely on as well. In pasuk Dalid, we see a pasuk that should look familiar to us as part of the tefillah Uva L'Tzion at the end of Shacharis, towards the end of the tefillah. The people celebrating respond that they should all rely on Hashem, who is Tzur Olamim, the one who we can depend on throughout time. Pasuk Hei also gives the rationale for why choosing to rely on Hashem is the right decision. After all, we have seen that Hashem is capable of bringing down even the strongest of our enemies and those who hold themselves up high. Pasuk Vav mentions trampling and can be referring to the previous Ani, the downtrodden Jewish people, who will now trample those nations that Hashem brought to the ground. Or others understand the poor person being mentioned in Pasuk Vav as Mashiach. The Navi Zechariah refers to Mashiach as an Ani Rochev al Chamor, a poor person who will ride a humble person who will ride a donkey, who will help bring about the defeat of the enemies and is being mentioned here. And at this point in Pasuk Vav, there will be a straight path for the tzaddikim to walk on, a path that will lead them to the Beit HaMikdash. The destruction of the enemies will strengthen the resolve of those who are righteous and the followers of Hashem. We can understand these words as describing the assistance Hashem will give a tzaddik to walk a straight path. The idea of habal taher misayinoto, one who wants to go on the correct path, Hashem helps along. Hashem assists and leads those who wish to be righteous down the path they wish to go on. Psukim Chet through Yud Bet talk about Hashem's ways of judgment. In Psukim Chet and Tet, we see the Radak understands that the nation is telling Hashem that even during our punishment and in Galut, we hoped for Geula and did not give up. We still desired you during the night in Galut and sought a connection. Even through Hashem's punishments, we saw his actions were justified and were able to bring the nations of the world to fear him and to understand his standards. As the last words of Pasuk Tet convey, Tzedek lamdu yoshvei tevel. In Pasuk Yud, when Hashem delays punishing the Rasha, then no one learns Tzedek because the Rasha is able to continue to do bad in the world, and the Rasha does not think that Hashem is just delaying his punishment. The greatness of Hashem is not apparent in that case. The other nations won't recognize that it's part of Hashem's power. They don't see, as Pasuk Yud Aleph says, Rama Yadcha, that your hand is actually strong and raised. We ask for the enemies to be consumed by fire and for us to have peace. We ask for Hashem to see our zchuyot, our merits. Rashi says that Pasuk Yud is referring to the success Hashem gives to the people from Esav. And we ask, why should you favor Esav, who's the Rasha Baal Lamad Tzedek Be'eretz Nechochot, the Rasha who lived among tzaddikim and did not learn from their righteous ways, as Esav didn't learn from being around Yitzchak his father and Yaakov his brother? Why should Esav be allowed to destroy our Mikdash? There are different midrashic explanations for how to understand these psukim, which appear to be a conversation between the Navi and Hashem. The Navi says Hashem should not allow the nations to see all the good that Hashem will bless the Jewish people with. But Hashem says it's better that they see it and be ashamed, that the fire of jealousy will consume them. Eish tzarachecha tochlem. Rashi suggests that the conversation was about the Navi acknowledging how Hashem conceals his true ways from the nations by allowing them to think that they prosper, and how all of that is going to change when he does save the Jewish people, and then the nations will be ashamed of their misjudgment and the destructive fire that will be brought against them or upon them. Radak says that at the time when Hashem saves the Jewish nation, they will not be able to say it happened by chance, and that when a small nation defeats a larger one, they will be ashamed and realize that there was a plan and that Hashem was behind it. Their shame will make their faces red like fire, and that's the fire that's talked about. And in Pasuk Yud Bet, we ask Hashem to grant us peace after all our suffering. In Pesukim Yud Gimel through Yud Tet, there's a tefillah for salvation and rebirth. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, we inform Hashem how other people tried to be our masters, but you, Hashem, are the only one that we mention in our tefillot. They tried to have us serve their gods, but we remained faithful and only mentioned your name. And we acknowledge how those masters are now dead and powerless. In Pesukim Tet Vav and Tet Zayin, it talks about Hashem adding to the nation. Yasafta lagoy Hashem, yasafta lagoy nichbarata. The more you added to us, the more you were honored, and how we called out to Hashem in tefillah even during times of trouble. The Midrash understands these psukim to be referring to the contrast between the Jewish nations and others, how we make meaning during our celebrations as opposed to other nations whose drunken celebrations are empty and lack meaning. When we build a house, we put on a mezuzah and a fence around the roof to protect all who may enter, while a non-Jew's focus is only on putting an idol in their house. So we see ways that Hashem is honored by the blessings he gives to the Jewish nation. Whatever you add for them, they give back to you. Yasafta lagoy Hashem, yasafta lagoy nichbarata. Pasuk Yud Zayin mentions how redemption will come when troubles are at their worst, like the worst pain, which is right before a woman gives birth. It's during this pain that we will loudly call out to Hashem, Kmo hara takriv laledet. And in keeping with this metaphor, Pasuk Yud Chet mentions how Hashem promises salvation, but yet it might not come right away. As someone who is pregnant, who feels like the birth is coming soon, that redemption is on the way, but then doesn't give birth to a live child. The salvation that we hoped for doesn't end up coming in that case. In Pasuk Yud Tet, we ask that the dead shall live, maybe referring to the nation that was symbolically dead, and then we ask that they should return to their grandeur from long ago. Yichyu meitcha, nevelatei yikumun, hakitsu v'rananu shochnei afar, kital orot talecha, v'eretz rifaim tapil. May your dead live, my corpses will rise, awaken, and sing those of you who dwell in the dust, for the dew of lights is your dew, and to the earth you shall cast those who are weak. Hashem is the Tal Orot that spiritually revives Am Yisrael, just like on a physical level, water revives plants and other living things. The words Tal Ole Orot are also familiar to us from Anim Zmirot, and we refer to that same phrase, which comes from our Perek. Eretz Rifaim refers to those who weakened their hands from Torah, who will endure expulsion from the land that will no longer sustain them. Who are the people who were Shochnei Afar referring to? Some say it could be referring to people who died al Kiddush Hashem during Galut that now will be raised up. Some say these words could be referring to Tchiyat Hametim, to those laying in the dust, like we say in the Amida, Umekayem Emunato L'Shochnei Afar, that Hashem will revive those in the time of Mashiach. The Rambam is doubtful whether or not to take these psukim literally or not. But we can see reference to some of the ideas that we mention often that could take place during Messianic times. We see that in these first 19 psukim, generally a Thanksgiving mizmor, but yet within it, very commonly, we also see there are tefillot for the future that are contained as well. This perek ends off with the last two psukim talking about revenge taken on our enemies. The Navi tells the nation to go inside and close the doors for a small amount of time, because Hashem will bring a makkah in the streets of the enemy, very similar to what they actually were told to do in Mitzrayim during Makat Bechorot, during the last plague. Hashem will do the din himself, and the punishment for the wicked will be revealed by Hashem himself, bechvodo uveatzmo, similar to what we say in the Haggadah when the redemption happens on that night in Mitzrayim, right before we were taken out. The land, in a sense, is going to tremble from fear of Hashem and shake, and all the bad things the nation did will be brought up and revealed as the land shakes. The bodies and the blood will come up from where they have been hidden. V'gilta ha'aretz et ameha, v'lo techaseh od al harugeha. The truth will emerge and be apparent. I'd like to end off this parak with the midrashic explanation that Rashi brings about when the Navi tells the people to go into their rooms and chambers and close the doors in Pasuk Chaf. There are a few different explanations for what this could be. These rooms could be a reference to the synagogues and Batei Midrashot, which are our strongholds and bases that we're told to go into and to be in. Or the words in the Pasuk could be referencing the chambers of our hearts and giving over the message to contemplate our actions in the chambers of our heart and to do good deeds that will protect us. Closing the door in this case could also mean to close our mouths, to not question Hashem's ways of justice in the process and wait till the end for it to be clear. The Radak says this directive is talking about during the war of Gog Umagog, go to your rooms, hide out a little during the destruction until the good comes after. Hide a little until you see that I will pay back your enemies in the end and justice will be served. Thank you for studying together, Li'ilui Nishmat Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander Sender.